WBTE Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Every time we come on this radio broadcast, you know, we always start off, you know, just giving God glory and honor and praise. Because, you know, it's an awesome honor, and it's an awesome privilege, you know, and I don't never take this lightly, you know, for granted, you know. That's why we come on live on this radio broadcast. And I don't take this hour or the week, you know, I don't take that for granted. Because I believe with all my heart, and I know and believe with all my heart, that if you are tuned in to this radio broadcast, then boy, God has a word for you. He has a message for you. You know, he always do. You know, he always do have a word for us. Hallelujah. You know, and to be able to partake of that word, you know, not just a word from a man, not just a word from me. But if you're tuning into this radio broadcast, then God wants to speak to your heart itself. And he wants you to hear past what, you know, was said on this radio broadcast, past what's said, you know, through me and all the things that I might share with you on our broadcast and everything else. But he wants us to come all the way past the gates of thanksgiving, as I always say on here, past the courts of praise, past the sanctuary, past the church service. You know, don't go beyond, you know, without that. Just come through that, but go past that. Don't stop there. Don't stop at the gates of thanksgiving. Don't stop at the courts of praise. Don't stop at the good church service and the good word that we hear there, but come all the way into the very presence of the Most High God. Listen. Without any sense of guilt and condemnation, and just commune with him, just hear, you know, from him. You might say, how you do that, you know? Hey, you do that, man, by not just hearing what, you know, men and women of God say to you, but by hearing what the Holy Spirit say to you about what we might say in our messages. Because he's the one that will lead and guide us into the truth. All we do is just sow the seeds. Hallelujah. And as we sow the seeds, you know, hey, into the heart of God, people, some seed fall on good ground, some seed fall on thorny ground, some seed fall on thorny ground, and some seed fall by the wayside. You know, that's four different kinds of receptivities, or four different kinds of heart. But we just sow the seeds. You know, and it's God that gives the increase. It's God, by his Holy Spirit, that gives you the revelation. That's why, you know, like I say, if you tune in to this radio broadcast, then it's not by power nor by might, but everything is by my spirit, said the Lord. Jesus said this way, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are light. So every time you know again, you tune into this radio broadcast, that's God summoning you. That's God pointing unto you the golden scepter of righteousness. That when a king points to you a golden scepter of righteousness, that signifies that you can come boldly into the king's presence. You can come all the way up to the throne of his grace and obtain, you know, and make the petition or obtain whatever you desire of him. If he don't point to you that golden scepter of righteousness, then you better not try to approach him, no matter who you are. But anybody that he appoint unto us the golden scepter of righteousness, that's signifying that we can come boldly into his presence. Listen, boy, the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it say, he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, God made him to be sin so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God. That you've been made righteous. Not your righteousness, not our righteousness, but you've been made righteous. And boy, as you come to the knowledge of that, boy, the Bible says righteousness through the revelation of that. Boy, that's just so important. Because, boy, through your righteousness and through your revelation and you knowing that you are righteous and what God has done for you, then, boy, you can come boldly to the throne without any sense of guilt or condemnation. I mean, you can come past the gates, past the courts, past the church service, all the way into the presence of the Most High God and hear from God yourself. Hey, listen, that's what he wants more than anything else. And when he uses us, it's to edify you, you know, and to build you up, you know, to where you can, you know, the Bible says there's going to come a time where there'll be no need for nobody for you to be taught by man no more, but you'll be able to know the word for yourself. You'll be able to know God for yourself. In fact, that's what our assignment is, to go and make disciples of all men, you know. That means students, learners. Students of what? Students of the word. Not just church members, but students of the word, you know. For what purpose? So that you might know the truth. For what purpose? So that you might, man, go into the same thing. What? Go and make disciples of all men, too. Go disciple God's people. Go teach God's people. Go share with God's people. What? The word of God. What word, boy, that they can come all the way into the presence of the Most High God without any sense of guilt or condemnation and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in any time of need that we have. But in order to get that grace and mercy to help us in any time of need that we have, you got to be able to come boldly to the throne. You can't come cowardly or hoping in a prayer. You got to come, boy, knowing in a prayer. Let me say it in another way. You got to come decreeing and declaring. How you get to that place, Arthur, boy, and you got to first hear from him? He got to speak to you. That's why this broadcast is here. It's for you. That's where we are. We are servants of the Lord, boy. Listen, when I say servant of the Lord, we serving the Lord. We are sons of God with servant attitudes. Offsprings of God, disciples of God with servant attitudes. To what? To serve you. Serve you what, boy? The good news, boy, of the love of God. That you might know the truth, who you really are, who God really is, who you really are, why we really are, where we come from, what we can do. And where are we going to end up at? Well, so that you might know the truth and grow in that truth and that knowledge and that understanding. And, man, go and share that with your whole circle of influence as well. So, again, you know, I like to take this opportunity to say, Father, we just thank you for allowing us this precious opportunity to come in and sit at your feet, to come and eat, you know, from the king's coming. Thank you, Lord, for us eating from the servant's table. That's a good thing, Father. But we don't want to stop at the good thing. We want the great thing. We don't want to just hear what the man say, Lord. We want to hear what you say by your Spirit. So I would ask you, my Father God, to anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour. That we may look beyond, Lord, the words of man, Lord, and hear your voice. The only way you can do that is by your Spirit, my Father. So we welcome your Spirit right now, Lord, into our midst. Holy Ghost, we say you can have your way in everything that we do. But we want to do that, Lord, not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit, Father. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. For it is you that is at work in the earth today. It is your ministry that is leading and guiding us into the truth. For the Father is finished, the Son is finished, but it is you that are leading and guiding us into the reality of everything that the Father has finished and everything that the Son has finished. Therefore, we welcome you and we say, have your way in this broadcast. Now, Father, here's our cup. We lift it up, Father. Come and quench this thirst that's in our souls to know you and Jesus Christ, who you sent, and the power of his resurrection. Come and quench that thirst that's in our soul. Bread of heaven, feed us that we want no more. Here's our cup, Father. Fill it up and make us whole. That is, in all ways, we'll be careful to give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, you know, I always had to say that to you. I had to say this to you, too. You know why I say that? Because I read something in Psalms 82. It said this. It said, God standing in the congregation of the mighty. You're going to search that out. You know, they got some different beliefs in there. But he said that. That God said that. And he said, you know, he judges amongst the gods. If you read that scripture right, that's in Psalms 82, first verse. You say, God, capital G, big G, he's standing in the congregation of the mighty. Look at this. That's all of us. And he judges amongst the gods. That word judge, that means to give righteous judgment to. righteous to render righteousness to. To render righteous judgment to. Everything you have a right to. He's standing in the world. He's standing among the mighty. Hallelujah. And amongst the God. What did he do? He's standing in the congregation of the mighty. And he judges amongst the God. He gives the God a righteous judgment. Who is the God? The little G God. Who is the mighty? The little offspring of God. Who's the little offspring of God? That's us. What do you call us? Mighty. The congregation of the mighty. So I don't just be saying that, you know, I say that because we are mighty. Mighty, mighty, mighty. And boy, if you come to the knowledge of that man and more that and more that and hear that and hear that and faith in that man, we begin to grow in that might and operate in that might and that power that God has for us. You know something? All that's in the kingdom of heaven, all that's our inheritance, all that belongs to us. That's God's intention for us. That's God's will for us. That's God's desire for us. That, boy, we reign in life. That we have that kind of life. Not just Christian lives, but lives in debt more abundantly. Abundant life means more than just what, just natural life of just being saved. But abundant life, that means men walking in the reality of what it means to be children of the Most High God. Displaying the glory of God in the earth. And baby, that's where if you go across this radio broadcast, then boy, God got a word for you. We always have a word for you. And you need to know that. Hey, listen, we got a special guest on with us today, you know, from Let's Go High Ministry, you know, that's my covering over there in the Houston area, you know, with Pastor Lydia Owens, you know. Mighty woman of God over there, that God has healed him in to raise up a little army of believers. Mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God. That boy coming to the knowledge of who they are in Christ Jesus. And it, I like to call it like this, it's a ministry of ministers. You know, because if you call it that ministry like this here, they are ministers. You know, I believe that with all my heart, that all of them that's in there, all of them that's attended, all of them that's a part of that ministry, are not just members of that church, but they are disciples of Christ. And what we have with us today, you know, an evangelist from Let's Go High Ministry, evangelist Tarsha Clark, you know. And again, you know, I like to lift up Let's Go High Ministry over there in the Houston area and their pastor, Pastor Lydia Owen, and to say, Lord, we thank you for your work that you're doing in and through her and that ministry and all the ministry that you're doing in the area, Lord. But because of her ministry, Father, then we have this special guest that's on here with us today, Lord God, and we count it an honor and a privilege. to have you on here with us, Evangelist Claude. You know, you've been out here watching us before, and you've been a blessing to us. And we know that God has a word in your heart for the body of Christ, you know. So right now, you know, we just, I say to our audience and to you, you know, that we just yield the floor. We just lay it at the Spirit. We just allow the Spirit of God to do what he do best. And that is to edify us, build us up, reprove us, rebuke us, correct us. Whatever he had to do, as he did do it to work on the inside of us. As long as he don't ever take his Holy Spirit away from us. So we got it an honor and a privilege again to have you on the broadcast with us today. And, you know, I just yield the floor to you and allow, you know, you to share with God's people here in this area, Louisiana area, and the Central Lou is what they call it over here. You know, the gospel and the word of God that God has graced you with. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. You know, I look at these kind of activities, movements, or you know, whatever word you want to assign to it, as an opportunity to grow. I don't take any opportunity for granted. You know, because I understand that, you know, it is our duty and our job, like you said, to be servants, but also to pour out of our spirit what it is that God has invested in us. And it's through that pouring out that God is going to give us more of who he is, you know. We can't receive more without giving what it is that he's given unto us. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. You know, I understand that not only is God invested in my growth, but he's also looking to see, will I be accountable? Will I be responsible? Will I be diligent? Will I be faithful over the opportunities that he's given? So I thank God for you, Pastor LaValle. I thank God for my pastor, Lady Owens, for connecting us. You know, and a good measure of a great pastor, I believe, is someone who's invested in your going on, someone who's invested in your growth. And I can say that about her, that she's invested in seeing God's people grow in the knowledge of God, in the spirit of God, you know. So I just count it a privilege to be here today. And I was thinking about, you know, what it is that I wanted to talk about. And these are always, you never get comfortable being used by God, which I think is a good thing. Because you're dependent on his spirit to show up, you know, and then it's nothing that you can conjure up yourself. You know, you're dependent on him. But I love that about him, though, because it keeps you humble. You know, it keeps you looking unto him, you know. So I was thinking about what it is that I wanted to talk about and praying about it. And the thing that popped up in my spirit was about trusting God and the scripture specifically. Was the one in Hebrews 11:6 where it says that, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, and I began to think about that. The first part of that talks about faith and how without it, we cannot please God. Without faith, we can't please him. We can't be in correct position, you know, in God without having the faith that he's imparted, he's given it to us, but without having that and carrying it. And then the second part of that says that when we come to God, we must believe that he is, you know, and when you think about, okay, well, what is God? Who is he? You know, the first of all is that he's sovereign. You know, he has supreme rulership over this world, over the kingdoms of this earth, over every, you know, power that's in position. He rules over it all. And another part of who he is that he's immutable, meaning that he doesn't change. It's impossible for him to change. You know, that he's ordained and predestined is going to come to pass because he's settled it in heaven already. And when I think about who God is, it's that he's holy. He's set apart. There's none like him, you know. You know, we can look at, you know, people in this world and compare, you know, their characteristics to God. And, you know, we have a portion of who he is, but there's none like him, you know, and he's omnipotent and he's merciful and he's full of love, you know. And so the Bible says that you know, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We first of all got to believe that he is who he said he is, and that he is going to reward those who diligently. And when we talk about diligence, we're talking about being in constant effort, or, you know, having an energetic effort towards him, that I'm not just seeking him once or seeking him twice or and then going back to what I thought or what I believe. But no, I'm seeking him constantly in with earnest effort, you know. And so, you know, when we think about faith, you know, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But when we begin to break it down a little bit further, there's two critical aspects of faith. One is that it contains our intellectual assent. And then the other part of that is that it contains trust. So these are the two critical aspects of faith: our intellectual assent and then trust. And what I mean by intellectual assent, it means that I have the ability to recognize something for the purpose that it gives. And trust means that I firmly believe and rely on that purpose to be true. So, for example, when I see a chair, my intellect says that the purpose of this chair is to support a person who's sitting on it. But trust says that when I actually get up and sit in that chair, I believe that it has the ability to hold me up. You know, and so faith is my intellect as well as trust coming together. And so, you know, we live in a world that has the first part of that down pat. You know, we see something and we know the purpose of it. And even in God, we see God, we know the purpose of God. But then where we fail is that we don't trust him. We don't put that second element into it, that we trust God with every aspect of our lives. You know, we trust God despite what we can't see. You know, the human element of us says to go off of what we could touch, taste, see, feel, hear, you know, and smell. That's the human element. But God says, I heard this many times in my church, you know, is that God is ordained for us to be more spiritual than we are carnal, you know. And so the spiritual part of who we are says that I am going to believe what God has spoken over my life despite what I don't see, despite what I feel or don't feel, despite what I can't, you know, understand right now. That's trusting God, you know. And so we live in a generation where we're putting our trust in everything but God. You know, we're putting our trust in our careers. We're putting our trust in our spouses. We're putting our trust in friendships. We're putting our trust in our own, you know, dreams and things that we think we can achieve. And we've taken God out of the equation. But God is saying that everything, every aspect of your life revolves around you trusting me. You know, and it's not trusting when I feel like the answer, you know, when I feel like it's an easy thing, or trusting him when I feel like, you know, there's no, it doesn't take a lot for me to believe it. You know, he's saying, I want you to trust me in every aspect of your life, you know, and I found myself, you know, lacking trust. And we all been there, you know, believing him for a moment. And when things don't seem to work out in the way that we desire for it to work out, then we let go of trust. And how do you know you're not trusting God when you fail to involve him in that aspect of your life, you know? And so God is saying, hey, I want you to trust me in a greater way. I want you to trust me with every aspect of who you are. Trust me with your dreams. Trust me with what it is that you desire to do in ministry. Trust me, you know, that I'm able to make a way where there seems to be no way, you know. And oftentimes we fail to trust God because we're full of fear. We're full of fear. We fear, you know, what the consequences of you know, an action is going to be. We fear, you know, that we're not in a place that we're supposed to be spiritually, you know, so God is not going to answer us. We fear, you know, what man has to say about it. You know, we fear all of these things, and so we take God out of the equation, you know, but God is saying that I want you to trust me with every aspect of your life, to get back to trust, to get back to believing, to get back to faith, to get back to hope, you know, to get back to those things that you know, that are spiritual, you know, because in that he's glorified. In that, you know, when I think about Abraham had such an unrelenting trust in God, you know, it, you know, the Bible says that God made him a father of many nations, but it didn't start that way. You know, it started with him, you know, first of all saying, I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to go into a land that I would give you, you know, and he didn't have a roadmap of what it all looked like, but he believed that God was able to do what it is that he said he was able to do. And even, you know, what I love about God, though, is that he's merciful, because even along that path, Abraham made so many mistakes. You know, he began to you know, take God out of the equation and begin to, you know, try to figure it out on his own with the help of Sarah, you know, and birth Ishmael out of that situation. But God is merciful, you know, and his promise is true. And when he got back into where he was supposed to be positioned in the spirit, then the promise that God gave him that he would have a child in his old age, despite what it looked like, despite what, you know, he couldn't understand within his own mind, you know, when he got back in the place of in the right position spiritually, then the promise began, you know, of Isaac, you know, manifested itself in his life, you know. And when I think about David, I think about a man who had trust in God, you know, when enemies were all around him who seemed to have more strength, more power than he had, or armies bigger than what he had in Israel. You know, David constantly ran back to God, saying, God, I put my trust in you. I fear no man. You know, I don't look at what I see. God, be with me. Help me. You know, diligently he sought God, and God showed up for him every time. So, this is an hour, I believe, where, you know, God wants us to take our trust out of where we had it. Take our trust out of our own ability. Take our trust out of our own design and what we think we can accomplish, and put our trust back in him. That's the only way we're going to be able to do what God has ordained for us to do in this hour, is that we have to trust him every step of the way. You know, me being on this call today is trusting God, not knowing fully what it is, what the next word is going to be, but I trust that he's given me something first of all, and that what he is, that his spirit makes up the difference. You know, his spirit makes what I can't do, his spirit empowers me to do, you know. And it's not just me. It's a body that he wants to raise up. It's a body of people that God wants to raise up in this hour to carry his message throughout this earth, that, you know, where a generation has been lacking in trust, and they're dependent on their own ability to make things happen for themselves, and only finding themselves disappointed because things are not working out for them. And how could it, you know, because we don't have the ability to do anything. We have to carry a message of hope, of belief, of faith, you know, that if we're going to get anywhere, you know, if we're going to achieve anything in this life, if our life is going to have any purpose, we have to see God for it. You know, we have to get back in right alignment with him. We have to put our trust in him and not in the things that we can touch, taste, see, and feel. Because what does the Bible say? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, you know. And we don't look at the things which are temporary, but we look at the things that are eternal, for the things that are temporary will pass away, you know. And so we have to get our eyesight realigned, you know, get our eyesight, you know, aligned with him, that we're seeing out of the eyes of the spirit, you know. And the eyes of the spirit don't depend on natural things, you know. The eyes of the spirit sees a way where there is no way. You know, when you have the eyes of the spirit, you see things, you know, you see things happening before it even happens. You know, when you have hearing that comes from God, you know, it doesn't matter what man says. You know, man doesn't dictate anything. You know, when I could stand on the word of God, because like I said before, one of his characteristics is that he's immutable. He doesn't change. You know, the Bible says that when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, bless you, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you.
Yeah.
You know, it's impossible for him to lie, you know. And so knowing all that he is and who he is and the ability that he has and the power that he has, why wouldn't we trust him, you know? Yeah. But the thing is, we're too full of us. When I empty out me, that's when God begins to move. You know, when I get rid of Tarsha and what Tarsha thinks and how Tarsha was raised, you know, and you know, the background of Tarsha, when I get rid of me, that's when God begins to move in the midst of my life, you know. And when I think about it, it's a curious thing how we go back and forth with God. We trust him for a moment, you know, and then he shows up for us. And then we go through something else, and then we leave trust out, you know. And it's the same thing with, you know, to remind me of the children of Israel. And when I read about them and how they would believe God and God would show up for them, and then they'll go back to sin, you know, and they repeated that cycle over and over. And I was like, what's wrong with these people, you know? But we're the exact same way. We believe God for a moment. You know, he shows up for us miraculously. And then we go through the next trial that's unfamiliar, and then we take him out the equation, you know. And so now we got to go right back to God, you know, and start our first work all over again. But God wants us to begin to be on a continual cycle of growth. I'm going from level to level. I'm going from faith to faith and glory to glory. You know, I'm not taking 5 steps forward and 10 back. You know, that I'm elevating because I'm, you know, I'm building. You know, when I think about investing, they have this thing called compound interest, when your interest begins to make interest, you know. It's not just about that one initial investment, but the investment earned interest, and now my interest is earning interest, and it's compounding. That's how God wants us to begin to grow, that it's compounding. Yeah. You know, every moment, every opportunity today on this broadcast, this is compound growth spiritually, you know. And so that's why we got to begin to take every opportunity. And God is merciful. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the frailty of our flesh, you know, that we have the tendency to go back, you know. But God is going to take that going back spirit out of us. You know, where we're just going on and growing, because the time is short. You know, we live in a generation that has taken God out of the equation. They've taken God out of, you know, prayer. They've taken prayer out of the schools. You know, the church doesn't want to speak the truth boldly. You know, we've compromised our spirituality, you know, and so because of that, we've lost our position in the earth, and the earth has become chaotic and full of strife. You know, and there's division all around us, and God is saying, who will grow? Who will position themselves spiritually and be my voice and be my mouthpiece and be an unrelenting example of who it is that I've ordained righteousness to be in the earth? Who will that be? You know, and so that's why God is so invested in us going on, you know, because he's not just invested in our growth. He's invested in all the people that are tied to our lives, those that we know and those that we don't know. You know, there are people who are depending on us. They're depending on us to overcome. They're depending on us to grow and to become who it is that God has ordained for us to be. And if we don't go on, how would they go on? You know, the Bible says that, you know, how can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach unless he's been sent? You know, and so God is saying, listen, I need someone who will be bold. I need someone who will believe me for the supernatural and the miraculous. I need someone who will set their face like a flint. You know, that's the one thing that we used to hear all the time growing up, you know, and let's go higher. Set your face like a flint, you know, because in this walk, there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be things that you have to go through for the sake of the kingdom, you know, but we have to become almost militant in our thinking that I'm not going to let anything separate me from what it is that God has ordained for my life, you know, and who he's ordained for me to become. And, you know, this is what it's all about. It's all about us becoming. Every day we have a decision to make. And what we do, what we fill our day with, is who we're becoming. You know, if I fill my day with just carnal things, that's who I'm going to become, you know. If I fill my day with spiritual things, then that's what I'm going to become. And so we have to begin to decide within our own self. God is not going to just, you know, pour out his spirit and make us all powerful without us putting the work in. You know, we got to begin to decide that, hey, if I want to be used by God, then this is who I have to become. You know, and so now what do I have to do? I have to pray. I have to diligently seek him. I have to turn the plate over and fast. You know, I have to love when people hate me. You know, I have to show mercy when people are not deserving of mercy. You know, I have to be righteous when sin is all around me and those options seem pleasurable. You know, I have to stand in holiness and separate myself from common things, you know. And so when I begin to do that every day, I'm becoming more like him. And that's what this whole thing is about. Becoming like God, becoming, you know, his reflection in the earth, you know, and as I separate myself from the things of this world, you know, and the things that want to separate me from the will of God and from the voice of God and from, you know, the spirit of God and from intimacy with God, when I begin to separate myself from those things, then I become more familiar with who he is. And that's when I can trust God the most. When I'm familiar with him, I can trust him. You know, it's just like a child and a mother relationship. You know, a child trusts the mother out of familiarity, trust that the mother or the father is going to provide for them, going to clothe them, going to give them shelter, you know, is going to give them all the things that a parent is supposed to be, because they're familiar. They've seen them do it over and over and over again. And so we got to become familiar with God. When we're familiar with God in that way, then we'll be able to trust him for what it is that he said that he's going to do. And his promises are great. You know, he's given us a word, a promise that's settled in heaven that, you know, before, even as he spoke for Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I purposed you, I ordained you, I predestinated you. And so we got to begin to seek what it is that he's predestinated us for. Why are we here? You know, why am I still among the land of the living? Why am I still breathing? What is my purpose? Who has he ordained for me to be? Who am I supposed to be identifying with? What is supposed to be coming out of my mouth? How am I, you know, what language am I supposed to be speaking? You know, who am I supposed to surround myself with? We got to be more purposeful, because if we're not, we're just going to drift, existing and not living, you know. And so God wants us to live and for life to flow out of us, not to just be existing in this earth without direction, without purpose, you know. We have to be purposeful. We have to be mindful, you know, we have to be on assignment, you know, that everything that I do, I'm wrapping my life around God. And I know that when I do that, the will of God is going to be manifested through me, and the glory of God is going to be manifested through me, you know. And so that's you know, that's why I'm here today. That's why I'm on this radio broadcast, because this is who he's ordained for me to be. And I can't shrink up, you know, and not step up to the plate. You know, when you think about a game, a basketball game, the most clutch player, they got to step up to the plate. You know, everybody's looking for that player to show up and to score, you know. And so I can't say, well, I don't have the ability, I don't have, you know, the capability, I haven't prepared myself. No, I got to step up to the plate and, you know, and become that clutch player that God has ordained for me to be. And it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit, you know. And so we're without an excuse, because he's saying that, listen, the very thing that I've ordained for you to do, I'm empowering you to do it. If all you have to do is lay down your life, and the power comes after that. All you have to do is decrease and let me increase. You know, this is not about your network, who you know, your resume, who you might be buddy with. No, this is about a divine kingdom connection. And so when we begin to connect with God, God begins to open up every door, you know. And so, you know, and the thing about it, that these things are easy to say when the Spirit of God is on you, right? But when the Spirit is not riding you heavily, would you still believe it? you know, to speak it out and begin to believe that what it is that he's ordained for your life, he's going to bring it to pass, you know. So, you know, it's a blessed day, you know. It's a mighty day that we're living in, you know. The table has been set for a mighty move of God, you know. When things seem to be not working out, when things seem to be going, you know, in the opposite direction, that's when God begins to say, listen, if my people will begin to pray, that's when revival will break out. You know, when you think about the mightiest moves of God in the Bible, it was in a time where it seemed like God couldn't move, when it seemed like, you know, the enemy was having his way. But when God's people began to get on their face and begin to see God, God began to move in a miraculous way. And so we're living in the same hour. There's nothing new under the sun. The very roadmap has already been given to us. All we have to do is begin to align ourselves with what it is that God has ordained, you know. And this is his way, you know. This is his way, trusting him, believing him, having faith, you know, seeking his face. These are the things that causes us to grow and to know him. And this is the hour that we have to know him. We have to know him. You know, it's not an option, because, you know, because if we don't, we're going to fall. We're going to fail. You know, we're going to find ourselves just being religious, just good church scores, you know, just you know, doing our religious duty, you know. But that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. God has made us to be greater than that. You know, he's called us to have something greater than just a traditional experience, a religious experience. Yeah. You know, God wants us to have something so divine, so intimate, you know, that we hear his voice, that we know what it is that he desires to do, that we're not confused, we're not puzzled, we're not bewildered, you know, we're so connected with him that we are you know, in alignment with what it is that he desires to do. And not only that, we're in a place where he can move freely through us, you know. So, you know, I count this a privilege, you know, to be on here today, you know, to be a part of what it is that God is doing. And, you know, I think about my life and where God has brought me from, you know, 18 years old coming into this walk and always having a consciousness of God, but not knowing what it is that he wanted me to be, you know, not knowing, you know, that God had a plan for my life that superseded my own plans. You know, I had plans for Tarsha and what Tarsha would be at this time and the things that, you know, Tarsha wanted to accomplish. But, you know, what greater accomplishment is there than to be used by God? You know, what greater accomplishment is there, you know, than to be in his will? You know, so I count it an honor and a privilege, you know, to be living in this hour. But it's also a time of to be sober, you know, because life moves quickly, you know. Life moves quickly, and you're on this earth, and then you're not, you know. And so I want what happens between the dash to matter, you know, in my life. I want my life to have impact. That I leave a spiritual legacy. You know, I don't care about a natural legacy, that I had this business that was successful and I accomplished this great thing. I don't that doesn't matter to me. I want to leave a spiritual legacy that I stood for something that was holy, that I stood for something that was righteous. You know, that you know, God used me in an impactful way. You know, and I read this week that, you know, prayers don't die. Prayers are a living thing. That even after the person who has made the prayer has passed away, that prayer is still alive and it's still active. You know, and so that's what I want my life to represent. That even after I've left this earth, the things that I stood for, the things that I spoke, the things that God manifested through me, they're still active. Yeah. They're still alive. They're still moving from generation to generation because they live before God, you know, as a testament, you know, of who he is, you know. So, you know, I it's a great day, like I said. You know, I'm honored to be a part of the body of Christ and the move of God, and I believe it's a great move, even in the area of Louisiana. I was talking to my pastor about this, you know, last week, that, you know, I feel such a strong connection to Louisiana. You know, the times that I've been there, you know, God used me in a mighty way in Shreveport, and we had a powerful, powerful time, and every time that I've stepped, you know, in that state, you know, it's been a blessing, and I believe that God has something so purposeful for that area, you know, in Louisiana, in all parts, you know, Shreveport and Baton Rouge and New Orleans and all, you know, even the small areas of Louisiana, you know. I believe that God wants to do something, you know, in that, you know, to be a part of it. I believe that this is just a starting ground of what it is that God desires to do, you know. He's forming it right now through the words that we're speaking, you know. And this is going to be it's going to manifest itself in a physical move. You know, we're on a radio broadcast right now, but this is just the beginning, I believe, of what it is that God wants to do. That there's going to be such a powerful move of God in that area of Louisiana. Yeah. That God is going to, you know, manifest himself in signs and wonders, you know, and great revival is going to break out, and the young and the old shall go forth together, you know. That there's a message for the young people in that area, that God wants to raise them up, And first of all, show them who they're supposed to be. You know, I think about, you know, when I was young, when I was 18 years old, I had no clue who I was. And so because of that, I identified with everything that seemed okay, that seemed, you know, like they would accept me, you know. And so we have a young people who don't know who they are, you know, and how could they? Because nobody's speaking truth. You know, we have very small pockets of people that are speaking truth, you know, but we have a church that has removed the truth of God out of the buildings, you know, and now we become a factory of entertainment. But God is ready to bring forth truth that people know who they are, know who they are. And when you know who you are, you stand for what it is that God has made you to know. And you don't waver because of, you know, your surroundings. You don't waver because of the things that are around you and what others are proclaiming. And, you know, I think about, you know, how God has established me in this. You know, I've been saved for 20 years now, thank God, you know, and how he's established me. And so somebody can come speaking another message to me. That doesn't faze me. It doesn't, because I know what I know, you know. And so God has, he wants to raise up a generation that they know their God. They know their God, and they know what voice, you know, is speaking to them, and they don't identify with another voice, you know. And so we have to become that trumpet, though, that speaks to them and declares, you know, I am who I am today because God, first of all, chose me, but because I had a pastor who had insight and who could, you know, believe what God had for me, even when I couldn't believe it for myself, you know, and it was determined for me to get there, you know, through all avenues, through love, through mercy, through rebuke, through correction, you know, all of those things made me who I am today, you know. And so now we have to go and be that for other people, you know. And it's not going to just happen in the church. It's going to happen in every area, you know, in every aspect of life. You know, God said go out into the highways and the byways, you know. And so, you know, it's going to be beyond just a meeting on a Sunday, you know. It's going to be an everyday move of God, you know, when we become purposeful and trust Him, you know. So I thank you, Pastor LaValle, for just inviting me to be on this broadcast today. I thank you, you know, for the opportunity to pour what God has put in my spirit, you know, and like I said, it's an honor and a privilege to be used by God. And like I said, also, I believe that this is just the beginning of what God wants to do, that there's an outpouring that is coming, and it's going to draw and compel the people, you know, to be and to strive for something greater. And that's what it's all about right there. And this is the last thing I'm going to say, is that people are not striving. And they're not striving to be something greater because they don't know that it's available. And so we have to begin to show them through the demonstration of our life and through, you know, what God is doing through us, what's available. You know, when I begin to know what was available for me, then I begin to strive towards it. You know, I didn't know that I could be a prophet. I didn't know I could be filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that God ordained for me to be evangelist, you know. And when I began to know that, when God began to open up my eyes that this is who I've ordained for you to be, you know, through the word that was being broadcasted, and, you know, every time I would to cross the paths, you know, to be in the church, there was a kingdom message coming forth that God wants you to know him, that God wants you to become familiar with him. And this is how you do it. When I begin to hear that over and over and over again, then I begin to strive towards something. Then I begin to, you know, there was a challenge that went off in my spirit. Oh, okay, now this is how I do it. Okay, let me begin to challenge myself. And when I begin to do that, I begin to grow, you know. And so that is, you know, that is, I believe, the recipe. That people are not becoming because they don't know what's available. And when they begin to know what's available, then they begin to travel, you know. And so, you know, I appreciate you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here. I can go on and on. I'm not gonna go any further. But I appreciate you for allowing me to be here, for opening up your broadcast and giving me the opportunity to pour out of my spirit, you know, what it is that God has placed in there. And you know, and I just gotta honor my pastor, Middle Owens, you know, for connecting always being, you know, purposeful about, you know, kingdom business, you know. And I thank God, you know, for both of you all. And now I'll turn it back over to you.
Amen. You know, it's always an honor and a privilege, you know. Anything, you know, I believe in my heart, you know, that and I thank God, too, for mighty women of God. You know, they got this thing in the religious world about how, you know, God don't use women or God can't use women like he used men, or women ain't supposed to be in the pulpit and all this and that. Man, you know, that all that is religion. I thank God for mighty men and mighty women. That's what I always say when I come on our broadcast. Hey, mighty men and mighty women. God is doing just as much through women as he's doing through man, you know. And because we won, you know. And any courage that would have ever been come upon woman, you know, that because of the fall, then I would be being redeemed from that. So I thank God, like you said, for Let's Go High Ministry, Pastor Lydia over there in the Houston, Texas area. And like I said, you know, that's a ministry of ministers, you know. Everybody that's associated with that ministry, even if they don't know it yet or not, you know, they are becoming who they already are, you know, and that's disciples of Christ and ministers of the gospel. And the good news is, it's not just any gospel, it's the gospel of the kingdom. And like you said a minute ago, when they find out, you know, what's behind the door, what goes with the salvation, what goes with just Jesus Christ, see, they know about Jesus Christ and his death and burial and resurrection, but they don't know yet, you know, this gospel of the kingdom. They don't know all the benefits of the salvation. They don't know about the abundant life. They don't know about the free gift of salvation and the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. They don't know who they really are, you know. But God is raising up ministers, Let's Go High Ministries, and those who are associated with it, and Kingdom Life Ministries, and other, even this small ministry that God has raised up across the globe, Lord, that's getting a hold to not just the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the door. But the gospel of Jesus Christ that he preached, that was what's all behind the door. And boy, when we discover and come to the knowledge of what's behind the door more and more and more, and then share that with God's people, not just enticing words of our knowledge and wisdom, but in demonstration and in power, so that the faith of the healed don't stand in the wisdom of God, but in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That's why you said earlier, you said that God's going to do a mighty work. And you're going to be through his church and through, you know, or the gospel of the kingdom, but it's going to be by his spirit, you know, that he's doing. You know, he's just looking for a people who would humble himself. And here's the two of the main things, you know, that God would encourage us to do, is to continue, boy, to make kingdom first. The Bible says this is God's number one priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? That's what's all behind the door. What's the door? You know, the door is Jesus. What's the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? That's all that's behind the door. What's behind the door? All of the kingdom of heaven. All that heaven consists of, the lifestyle of heaven, the attributes of heaven, the power of heaven, you know. Heaven. Heaven itself, all his attributes, our inheritance is among us right now, and all even on the inside of us. What that? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what's behind the door, and that's what's ours. That's our inheritance, and that belongs to us. And boy, we come into the knowledge of it, and God is raising up an army of believers in our generation that's not only proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the door, but we proclaim and come into the knowledge of the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. And that's what's behind the door. That's all our inheritance, all the benefits that belong to us. Like you say, who we really are and our true identity, what we really can do and how to operate and use the keys of the kingdom of God, how to live by faith and to walk by faith and to exercise our faith, so that all those blessings of God and all those great and exceeding and precious promises of God will be manifested in our lives. So I say that to say this, sister, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to be associated with ministers like Pastor Lydia over there, and with your ministry, and with all the ministers that's associated with him over there, Brother Tony and Brother Daniel and his wife and Brother Tony's wife and Sister Sharon, all those that's associated over there, and all of you in the Houston area. And let me say this to to those of you two in the Houston area while we're on this broadcast, as you said about the things in Louisiana. Hey, listen, you know, you mighty men, you mighty women at the Most High God. The more God has gifted y'all and anointed y'all, you know, men of old have longed to hear and be a part of what's going on in your life. That as my sister said earlier, that who you are becoming. Day by day by day by day, as you continue, boy, under ministries like that you're under. So I would encourage y'all, you know, to be steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the work of the Lord that God is doing over there at Let's Go High Ministry, you know. And boy, be dedicated and concentrated and committed to that God will use you in the same way and do it to you in his capacity in the body of Christ, you know, and in the culture. And all the other men and women that he's using over there. And the same thing here in our area of Louisiana, that you continue to incline your ear and be a part of what God is doing. You know, thank God for what man is doing. That's all right. That's a good thing. But let men come to the knowledge and be a part of what God is doing. That's what the kingdom of God is. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. Thank God for what we're doing. You said it earlier, sister, you know, that many are the plans in a man's heart. You said you had your own plan and your own idea of what you want. But when you realize, boy, it is the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail, then, man, you cease from your ways and what your desire is. And you say, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And listen, this is the will and desire of God for all our lives. I don't care who you are. That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in him. And when that going to be manifested? How that going to be manifested? How you get that, like my sister said, by faith? When it going to be on earth like it is in heaven? He said, Lord, what? Not my will and not my plans, but your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. And let your will be done on earth just like it is in him. Listen, 2,000 years ago, his kingdom came. In the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege and the honor of boy proclaiming that the kingdom is here. And because the kingdom is here, is among us, is within our reach, then the will of God can and is and will be done in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And boy, we ought to be charting our course toward that destination, boy, fulfilling what? The kingdom of God in our lives and the will of God. For our life. What's the will of God? That it be in our life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. How I get that all that manifesting in our life? Priority first. What? Seek ye first. Not second, not third. But seek ye first, not my will and not my way and not my plan, nor many other plans in my heart. No, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not our righteousness, not my righteousness, not what I can do for you, Lord, but your righteousness, what you've done for me. Not my will, but your will, Lord. Not my kingdom, but your kingdom come. Let that be our number one priority. Seek that. Go after that. Be diligent about that, you know. Lord, set your face flint toward that, what? That God's kingdom come in your life and God will be done in your life. And I promise you, if you seek, you'll find it. You know why most people ain't seeking it? They ain't found it because they ain't seeking it. Nobody ain't seeking it because my other people they don't know about it. You know, they might know about Jesus, but they don't know what's board the message that Jesus Christ come preaching. What? All of the kingdom of heaven is our inheritance. So, hey, listen, the invitation to all of you, you know, under the sound of my voice, come, all of you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. What? The kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And as my sister was saying to us on this broadcast, and learn how to live in it and to grow in it. How you get that on? By faith. By not just mental ascending and mental agreeing with that, but boy, by trusting in that, boy, and acting on that, boy, speaking that, man. Hey, believing it, man, even before you see it, and speaking it until it come to pass. That's faith. How to just live by faith. Hey, listen, y'all. Our time is up on this radio broadcast. Evangelist Clark, as always, you're a tremendous blessing to us. Thank you for the word that you allowed the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And I'm sure that it is a blessing to all our lives. And God's word will not return void, but it will accomplish that what he sent it to do. And as a result of that, you know, we're going to grow in our faith in God. Because as a result of that word, we're going to step out in faith and walk in faith and go on to receive the end of our salvation. Therefore, I decree and declare that it be unto us according to the word that has been spoken into our hearts today on this radio broadcast, Lord. And Father, we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise.